The number you have reached is not in service. This is a recording.
1-1-1-1-1.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, maybe like in the next room, but like sort of here too.
Time is precious here. Out in Skype land, I'm sorry. Look what you made me say. Signal land. Skype is history. No longer around.
Take responsibility.
Yeah, it's my fault. Signal land. We have Rob T. Firefly.
And, good evening.
We have Gila.
Good evening.
And we also have Alex.
You do. Good evening.
Well, what a week this has been. I got to tell you, I've seen a lot of hateful activity. I've seen a lot of cowardice. I've seen just ugliness, I guess, is the best way to phrase it. We alluded to the events of last week a bit in overtime. A week ago, not on the show itself, and I guess we are forced to discuss this even more because there has just been so much in the world of technology and social media that has happened that we can't let go unremarked. We've been aware of the backlash. We're talking, of course, about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Which obviously was a horrible thing. We shouldn't be expected to have to say it was of course it's a horrible thing when somebody is killed in the prime of their life or in any part of their life simply for what they say. That is a tremendous failure of society, of people. It's something that nobody should celebrate or seek to have more such incidents. That goes without saying, but I guess we have to say it anyway. And yeah, you're going to find people who say stupid things. You're always going to find people who say that. But the thing that I think we're all kind of just gobsmacked by is the leadership of this country and how it turned on its own people at the snap of a finger. Before any evidence was actually brought forth as to who was responsible for this, they were pointing fingers at half the country, at all the people who did not vote for them, because that is the country we live in now, where you're either with us or you're the enemy. You remember back in the day when Obama got elected, how he was saying he was going to represent all the people? I think Biden said the same thing. This guy now is not like that. He doesn't believe in unifying. He believes in tearing apart, causing conflict, and I guess, more of what we are witnessing here. And it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. It's a scary thing because we've seen what has happened to some people. You know, some people say stupid things, as I said. Some people just question, and they're treated the same way. We got a letter from a listener. And by the way, going forward, we are not reading the names of people who write to the show unless they sign their names. In other words, your name will be in your email address, obviously, but we're not going to read your name unless you indicate that you want us to read your name. Because, you know, we don't want repercussions to come to you because of something you might say. That is the country we live in right now, where people could actually, cause intimidation based on words they don't like. So that's something that we will do for our listeners. This person wrote in saying, I'm sure you all heard about the tragic assassination of Charlie Kirk, founder of the right-wing Turning Point USA. While I do not agree with all his positions, I really admired his willingness to go into the lion's den, even though that den was often stacked with naive college kids unprepared to face his talking points. And that is true. He was an accomplished debater. It's hard to debate somebody who's an accomplished debater, even if your point is that we breathe oxygen and the sky is blue. You will lose. The reason I bring it up is because I was made aware of a website called www.charliesmurderers.com. Yeah, this was a very disturbing website. That's me saying that, going back to our letter writer. I don't know who is behind it. I assume some right-wing Kirk supporters. They are cataloging people who posted positive messages about Kirk's assassination and are trying to shame them or get them fired from their jobs. You know, it's a kind of tactic that the left is often accused of using, shaming people into, I guess, compliance in the eyes of critics. But we shouldn't be surprised to see this kind of thing being used. There are some issues here that go beyond that, though. But let's continue with the letter. 2600 took a lot of heat for publishing the names of Doge employees, even though they were government employees who, by all accounts, are public servants and whose names should be public. This website is publishing the names of private individuals who were expressing their personal opinions in what they thought was a private capacity. Why is posting this not okay when it is Doge employees, but is suddenly okay when it's people saying things the right-wingers disagree with? I do think the website is in poor taste, but I think it should be able to exist, just like posting the names of the Doge employees. The people who posted their opinions about Kirk's murder, regardless of whether I think they should have, did so of their own free will and have every right to express their views. Likewise, the creators of the website have every right to take public information and collate it into this site. I have an objection to that, but I'll get to that in just a moment. Actually, you know what? I've read enough of the letter. The site is called charliesmurderers.com. Now, all the people who are listed on this site were not the murderers. They were not people who killed Charlie Kirk. So right away, doing that is basically an intimidation tactic that is going to draw all kinds of hatred and animosity from all sorts of people who think there is some connection when there is not. Somebody simply expressing an opinion. Now, since this letter was sent, the site first erased all the people that were on it, and now the site is no longer in existence at all. In fact, even if you go to archive.org and go to charliesmurderers.com, this URL has been excluded from the Wayback Machine. So, yeah, that can happen. It was an ugly episode. And, you know, the first person who was listed on that site was some influencer from Canada. And all she was saying was, I really fear what the right-wingers are going to do now. She didn't even say anything about Charlie Kirk. She was saying something about exactly what was happening with people on the right wing targeting people on the left wing, just out of hatred and animosity. And that got her the number one position on this site, charliesmurderers.com. That is the sickness that we are in right now. But it gets better because right before showtime, I got wind of this story where the late-night talk show host Jimmy Kimmel was suspended for comments made last night. His comments about the Charlie Kirk shooting during yesterday's show drew condemnation from, you ready? From FCC Commission Chair Brendan Carr. We've talked about this guy in the past. This guy has been out of control since before he became the chair of the FCC. He does not know what the job is, does not know that they are responsible for compliance with technical restrictions, licensing issues, things like that. Not editorial decisions. We don't give a rat's ass what you think of what somebody says. That is not your job. That is not what the FCC is for. I'm sorry. It is not. Anyway, the condemnation from Carr basically prompted a group of ABC affiliates owned by Nexstar Media Group to declare they will not air Jimmy Kimmel Live for the immediate future. And then that led to the courageous people at ABC announcing that the show was being taken off the air indefinitely. Okay, so what did he say? What exactly was it that he said that led to all of this? Well, it started after Jimmy Kimmel said suspected Kirk assassin Tyler Robinson was a MAGA Republican. I've been hearing that a lot lately, actually. We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them, and doing everything they can to score political points from it. Now, those are the words of Jimmy Kimmel. Now, Brendan Carr was interviewed by YouTuber Benny Johnson, I have no idea who that is, today, where he appeared to threaten ABC affiliate licenses over the comments, which he called the sickest conduct possible. Now, right away, we're not talking about somebody who's celebrating the killing. We're talking about somebody who is pointing the finger in a different direction than the finger being pointed right now and ever since this horrible event happened. There is a good amount of evidence to suggest that this killer, the alleged killer, was brought up in a right-wing household with access to guns and all the nice things that you get out there in Arizona, Utah, wherever he was. So it's certainly something that can be backed up with evidence, whether or not it's true. That's what time will decide. It's not important. It's not important if he was a Democrat or a Republican. The point is that he came from that kind of a background, and that is what Jimmy Kimmel was saying. And apparently that, in the eyes of the FCC chair, is enough to get you kicked off the air. We've never been in this place before. Never. Now, here's what Brendan Carr said. This appears to be an action by Jimmy Kimmel to play into the narrative that this was somehow a MAGA or Republican-motivated person. What people don't understand is that the broadcasters have a license granted by us at the FCC, and that comes with it an obligation to operate in the public interest. When we see stuff like this, look, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. These companies can find ways to change conduct on Kimmel, or there's going to be additional work for the FCC ahead, meaning they're going to come after licenses and companies and things like that, simply for expressing a different viewpoint. This is not about celebrating or saying anything at all tasteless, simply looking at it from a different perspective. I mean, I'm just learning about this right now, and it's a slap in the face to broadcasters anywhere. And when you consider, you know, if you drive around, listen to the AM radio throughout this great country of ours, you will hear all kinds of falsehoods being peddled as right-wing propaganda. And never once have any of us, I don't believe, said that these people should be shut down. No, these people should be countered. They should be debated. They should be proven wrong. But never, ever has somebody in a position of government, whether it be the president or the vice president or senators or FCC chair people, never have they said this opinion is not allowed, this perspective is not allowed. That is the world we are in right now. in 1 week, this has happened. And it is pretty damn scary. But I got to tell you, here at WBAI, we are committed to free speech. And we are going to keep speaking, because that is what we have been doing since 1960. And sure, the world has changed, but the dedication to having different opinions and discussing controversial issues and covering what is going on out there and what is being ignored by the mainstream, that is something that has not changed one iota over the last half century or more than half a century. So please, support this place. Keep us going, because we are going to need it. You know, everything from CPB being shut down to this threat on science, on education, on journalism, on truth, on alternative ideas. You know, this is it's not even a year yet. It's not even a year, and look where we are. So whatever you were thinking of donating to WBAI, donate more, because this world is a lot more right now. Give to WBAI.org, buddy.wbai.org, all kinds of different levels. The important thing is keep 99.5 FM broadcasting, because it might be the only way to get the news these days. I've been talking a lot. Alex, you've got your finger up. Go ahead.
Sure. This is a really crazy issue. I mean, this whole Jimmy Kimmel thing, Emmanuel, is really disturbing on a number of levels, but there's a lot of principles at play here. I hate to say it, that Commissioner Carr, though, is right, that as a broadcaster, they're supposed to do things and act in the public interest. And that's where things get a little bit complicated, because you have this regulatory pressure coming from the FCC that sounds a lot like some kind of censorship. But yet, on the other hand, ABC has the right to have editorial control over all of its content, and it's not an arm of the government. ABC is a private party, so they can hire, they can fire, and they can edit the speech and censor the content of anything that they see fit, because they're not subject to the strictures of the First Amendment. Their First Amendment rights should not be curtailed, however, by the FCC and overregulation by the FCC, or overburdening or threats by the FCC.
Whoever has their computer, please turn it off.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We all have computers here, but hopefully that's not. Hopefully it's not me. I'm not sure what that is. But what's odd to me here, though, is like we're dealing with a situation where there is essentially corporate self-censorship in the face of government pressure here. And those two things together, I think, really creates a very awful situation when it comes to the freedom of speech and the types of content that we are going to be able to expect to hear from not only the radio waves here, you know, but with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting being essentially decimated, but for, you know, regular television too. It's really kind of incredible the extent to which we are going to see things curtailed here. I mean, if you think about this in historical context here, what the FCC chairman did, I think, just was totally wrongheaded, right? Even if he believed that what Jimmy Kimmel said about Charlie Kirk was totally wrong, was totally false, and was sick, and obviously he did believe that it was sick, because I believe he did use that particular adjective. The remedy here is not to put regulatory pressure on a broadcaster and basically misuse and abuse your office. You go back to 1927, and Justice Brandeis, I think he got it right nearly 100 years ago in a case called Whitney v. California before the U.S. Supreme Court, and he talked there about falsehoods and fallacies, and he made this great point that has been repeated over and over and over again for nearly the last 100 years in Supreme Court constitutional case law, and he said this, quote, "If there be time to expose through discussion the falsehoods and fallacies, to avert the evil by the processes of education, the remedy to be applied is more speech, not enforced silence."
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. This guy Carr is basically acting just as Trump has acted in that he is very insecure about power. And anybody who disagrees with perspective, we're not talking about something that is a disservice to the public in any way. We're talking about somebody with a different opinion who says, yeah, I don't think the guy was raised by Democrats. I think he was raised by Republicans, you know, and it's backed up by some evidence. You can say that. You can say that this is somebody who had MAGA upbringing. And it's, you might not agree with it, but it is a perspective. It's part of the conversation. But he is upset that MAGA is being criticized or implicated in any way. Not upset at anything left of center being blamed immediately, as of last Wednesday for the assassination, when there was absolutely no evidence yet to suggest anybody. And, you know, that's okay. But once you cross his political beliefs, all of a sudden you're the threat. That is a level of amateurishness I've never seen in the FCC. I've seen a lot of bad things come out of the FCC. But this, I want to read you some more of what Brendan Carr said. So I think you see some lashing out from people like Kimmel, who are frankly talentless and are looking for ways to get attention. Boy, that sounds like somebody familiar. Not the talentless person. The way this is being phrased sounds just like Trump. Their grip on the narrative is slipping. That doesn't mean that it's not still important to hold the public interest standard. We have a rule on the book that interprets the public interest standard that says news distortion is something that is prohibited. The FCC has stepped back from enforcing it. I think it's past time these affiliates themselves push back on Comcast. And that's interesting because Comcast doesn't own ABC, but what he doesn't know what he's doing, obviously. But push back on Comcast, sure, push back on a different network. And basically say, listen, we're not going to run Kimmel anymore until you straighten this out, because we're running the possibility of license revocation from the FCC if we continue to run content that ends up being a pattern of news distortion. First of all, Jimmy Kimmel is not a news program. And second of all, hello, Fox News? You know, you can't say these things and not look at the other side as well. Well, apparently, Brendan Carr can. Disney needs to see some change here. We got that right. Disney does own ABC. Nexstar then issued the following statement. Okay, who is it? Who has their computer up? This is not our first week, folks. Somebody has. Can everybody just mute themselves then, so we can track down who the offender is? I know it's not me.
We've been muted all along.
So. Okay, so it's not you, Alex.
I am muted. That's the weird thing.
Well, yeah. We're muted here. So where is this coming from?
We can't hear anything unusual from our end.
Huh. All right, we have a mystery here. Well, you can see the. It could be the signal computer. Maybe is that possible, Kyle? Because that computer is up with their voices. So if that computer is doing something, then it might make noise.
Stop using Signal, everyone. Just that, just around the world. Uh-huh. Everybody just stop. And stop asking me.
Anyway, Nexstar's statement. Nexstar's owned and partner television stations affiliated with the ABC television network will preempt Jimmy Kimmel Live for the foreseeable future, beginning with tonight's show. Nexstar strongly objects to recent comments made by Mr. Kimmel concerning the killing of Charlie Kirk, and will replace the show with other programming in its ABC-affiliated markets. It makes me feel like I missed something here, because what did he say exactly? He didn't say anything positive about the killing. He simply said that it's more likely that this person was right of center than left of center. That's a statement now that can get your show taken off the air, saying that somebody might be politically different than the way they're being portrayed. That is something. That is simply incredible. President of Nexstar, Andrew Alford, said Mr. Kimmel's comments about the death of Mr. Kirk are offensive and insensitive at a critical time in our national political discourse, and we do not believe they reflect the spectrum of opinions, views, or values of the local communities in which we are located. Okay, you know, now I'm convinced that I'm missing something, because we're either living in a bizarre world or he said something that was offensive, because I did not see anything that was offensive in that statement. Gila.
I don't think he said anything offensive. I think this is one of those preemptive compliance because of the lack of, oh my God, what's the word? The fact that the companies are able to own so many.
Lack of competition.
Not just lack of competition, but the fact that Nexstar owns America's largest local television broadcasting group with more than 200 owned or partner stations in 116 U.S. markets. So I think that this is preemptive compliance to attempt to not run afoul of the FCC. And in this particular case, I think the tail is wagging the dog because if 116 markets are all of a sudden not going to be running this particular show because of the opinions of the people who happen to own TV stations in 116 U.S. markets, what was the thing that Reagan overturned? Why can I not remember the word?
Yeah, it was the rules against the same entity owning like too many broadcast channels in the same area.
Between Sinclair and Nexstar, I think you're looking at most local affiliates in the country.
Yeah
there are a huge number.
And I think that's also part of the problem, because if two stations say we're not going to do it, if 116 markets are not going to be in, this is terrifying to me on so many levels. And the FCC is like, cool.
And that's part of what's going on here is you talk about they don't want to run afoul of the FCC. What they don't want to run afoul of is the president. Generally, all one had to do to not run afoul of the FCC was obey the laws around broadcasting. And now the FCC is basically a tool of the Trump administration. And if you make him angry, if you hurt his feelings, you're now going to have your license to be a broadcaster threatened. And that is terrifying. That's terrifying as a broadcaster. It's terrifying as a person who consumes media. It is bad on every level in both directions.
And
go ahead.
Just one other thing about Nexstar, because I'm willing to say that here on WBAI. Because free speech radio. The president of Nexstar was part of a prior organization which Sinclair bought in 1995, thereby basically giving this guy the roadmap for what this is going to become. Nexstar also owns News Nation.
Yeah, I never had much hope for them.
Nor did I.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that all of these pieces are part of one ecosystem.
That's why independent networks like Pacifica is so important, because we're not owned by Disney or Comcast or whoever. You know, even Ben and Jerry, apparently you can't express yourself anymore. You get that story today where Jerry's out of Ben and Jerry because apparently they were bought 25 years ago. And now they're not allowed to express their political opinions, which is a part of what Ben and Jerry's has always been about. And, it's a shame they couldn't see that coming. But it just seems one by one, all the places where people were able to express themselves are just being eliminated, one after the other. Kyle?
Well, it's an aspect of what is changing in a corporate culture, because a lot of some of those big, high-profile incidents where brands themselves were attacked for having any kind of like progressive ideas behind some of their campaigns, even if the stuff was like targeted at certain audiences, it was analyzed and taken as some sort of mass campaign that everyone had to like sort of adopt certain ideas, and whatever critique might be due, it has changed the brazenness and really neutralized a lot of the platform that major corporate entities have in the money and those media and ad dollars and certain initiatives that they put forth to align with their business model. So I don't think anybody's ever really looked to them, but in the past maybe decade or so, I mean, a lot of companies have been thinking of this as a virtuous part of their identity, and now it seems to have been jettisoned in favor of conforming to this sort of really, like I said, neutralized sort of stance on anything but their core business.
Go ahead, Alex.
You know, this, again, and I'm going to use the same phrase I used last week, I think this is really, when it comes to ABC, old wine in a new bottle here. You know, we dealt with this before. We dealt with this 23, maybe 24 years ago. I don't remember exactly when, but do you remember back around 2002, probably around like the beginning of 2002, there was another late night outspoken political commentator who made some comments that angered ABC and the FCC and particular advertisers that ABC then yanked off the air and canceled his show. Do you remember who that was?
Yeah, you talk about Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher. And,
exactly. Yeah. ABC again at issue.
Right. Well, there's no question that broadcasters, networks are going to be cowards. But I don't think we've ever seen anything comparable to what we're seeing right now, where literally you have the most powerful people on earth threatening anybody on the left, saying, we're coming after you. We're going to ruin your life. We're going to take your money. We're going to get you fired. This is just for having opinions that are different than them. We're not kidding around about this. That is what is happening. We're not talking about people that are violent, that are blowing things up, that are killing people. No, none of that. We're talking about people who have different viewpoints and don't accept the party line. And we are here in September of the first year of this hell. We have over three to go. I mean, if you're not concerned, it's time you get concerned, because this is not going to get better, and it's going to get a lot worse if we just sit back and let ourselves be entertained by it. Everybody needs to be standing up and saying, this is wrong. This kind of suppression of speech is a horrible thing. We need free speech now more than ever. It's got nothing to do with the horrible event of last week, which everybody with any sense would immediately condemn, and I think everybody I know certainly did that. But this unrestrained hatred and basically opportunism. I can't tell you the number of fundraising emails I've gotten, and not from spammers, from the actual people themselves. You know, the actual email addresses from various political campaigns trying to make money off of this. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. But of course, you probably can't say that either, because, you know, you're criticizing the wrong people. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, just yesterday, Trump was leaving the White House and had one of those noisy helicopter in the background chats with reporters on the White House lawn. And Attorney General Pam Bondi had equated criticism of Charlie Kirk and all his work to hate speech, and said that, you know, it could be prosecuted by the Department of Justice. She said this on a podcast. And so Trump was asked about this on the White House lawn by ABC News chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl. He asked Trump about, you know, what he thought about what Pam Bondi said, that a lot of your allies say hate speech is free speech. And Trump responded, well, she'd probably go after people like you because you treat me so unfairly. It's hate. You have a lot of hate in your heart. And, you know, Trump went on to say, oh, he just wants everything to be fair, and it's the radical left who have done tremendous damage, and blah, 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 blah. But it's not just Kimmel. It is a multi-handed, multi-threaded effort by the administration. You know, ABC is in focus right now, and this is how they work. This is what they do. They're just going to try and, you know, silence the voices they don't like, the voices that hurt their feelings, the voices that threaten their grip on power.
And Steve Colbert, of course, was also canceled, and nobody's fooled by why he was canceled. You know, they're coming for those voices first. They're shutting them down, silencing those voices, and then it'll be time for the rest of us. So we had better pay attention to this.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of independent voices and the rest, as you say, take note, in that in every one of these sort of big corporate cancellations, there's a chilling sentiment, chilling effect that then pervades for many others in their wake. And that's the bigger issue, I think, is that they were not really people you would expect to be able to say very much or something very edgy, but they were allowed to say something. And with this kind of norm
mm-hmm.
occurring so widely, it basically becomes a template and becomes the norm, something that we accept, and makes it a lot harder for other people and other groups, other voices to exist in the landscape, and you get more of that homogeny that you pointed out. Our airwaves really do exude. So we lose these little bastions, these little islands of dissent and disparate opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one by one they fall, and it has a chilling effect because people are afraid to say anything, and they just want to be left alone. And I get that. I understand why that is. I'm not asking people to sacrifice their lives just to stand up for somebody else's freedom of speech. But let's be paying attention at least, and let's not pretend that this isn't serious, that this isn't something that really does need to be addressed.
Even on their own stations, their own network, right? Like, so one comedy show or variety show goes down, how could you possibly expect any kind of integrity from the rest of their lineup? Yeah. They're basically going to fall in line, otherwise mm-hmm. they go that way. It becomes a standard operating procedure around there. So it's not even that other outlets, I mean, their own peers at whatever larger conglomerate you're talking about then have to adhere to this.
Right.
And it becomes across the board on a very a large crosscut of our society, the standard and that kind of neutralized form. And then these smaller and other diverse voices become ever harder to find and ever harder to ever, fewer and far between. And that is a huge loss. And of course the idea that maybe new voices will enter the fray is itself, a threat too, because why would people start if they're in an acting and operating in an environment where there's a huge shutdown and a people looking to stop this stuff? It's incredibly hostile, and you don't get people feeling that it's a comfortable place to actually speak their mind, speak honestly. And I mm-hmm. think that's a true disservice to the dialogue itself and our overall consciousness.
I know there are a lot of people who will want to speak on our airwaves, and this week we're not doing that. Next week we will be. Next week on this show we will be taking listener phone calls. I don't know if there'll be a hum or not. Let's not let that drive us crazy. But your voice will be heard. And, of course, you can also call tonight on Overtime, which is on YouTube. That starts at 8 o'clock. Go to channel 2600 or just follow the link that's on top of the 2600.com webpage, and you can call us then. There are all kinds of ways that you can express yourself, though. Call C-SPAN. Call other right-wing radio stations. Call, if you can find any other stations that aren't right-wing, call them as well. But we have to speak up. Our voices matter, and they can't be silenced. They can't be ignored. You know, you were talking about networks and not being able to trust them, Kyle, and that's certainly true now of ABC. It's been true of CBS for a while. What happened with 60 Minutes and the complete caving to the Trump administration, paying them millions of dollars, and now having some kind of ombudsman in charge that will look out for things that are objectionable to the state. I don't know, has NBC fallen yet to this nonsense? PBS has been attacked and destroyed pretty much, or at least CPB has. They are basically coming for everybody. They're basically coming for everybody, and the only reason they haven't come for Pacifica is they probably don't know about us, because they're not the most savvy people in the world. But believe me, we will be in the crosshairs. We will all be in the crosshairs. And those of you who are on the right, you might think you're safe. Let me bring you back to the Soviet Union times, where people aligned themselves with those in charge, but they fell out of favor relatively quickly and were replaced by somebody else. There were purges all the time. This happens to all kinds of regimes, and it's something that I don't know. It's we just keep going through this over and over again, and you won't be safe either. Look at all the people in the Trump administration that have been kicked out. That have had their lives destroyed, that are now the enemy of the state. I don't know how anybody can willfully go into this thinking that's not going to happen to them.
Yeah.
That's it? That's a sigh? That's all I get?
What else can we say? I mean, that's where we are right now. It's a really kind of terrifying situation. It's also really quite scary for me too, when I'm constantly crossing the border and coming back into the United States after being away and being on the show and criticizing the administration or being critical of policies, etc. And knowing that you need to cross the border and potentially be interrogated here, even as an American citizen. I mean, I would think
you'd actually welcome being interrogated. Because, no, seriously, you are a debater, you are a lawyer, you are somebody that rises to the challenge, and if they dare mess with you, they're going to regret it. And I think you would welcome
true.
That opportunity.
That's certainly true, but nobody wants to have the full weight of the state thrown against them when you're tired and coming back, in the middle of the night. And, so it's a crazy situation and a crazy world we find ourselves in because, our country has just basically given up on what we believed were really true American ideals.
Go ahead, Ryan.
And also the relative safety of somebody with skills in practicing law does rather depend on the rule of law still being a thing.
Yeah, that's quite true, Rob. Good point. Yes.
All right. Well, let's talk about people with integrity. I've always admired these guys who run an email service that defends freedom. In fact, ProTown Mail describes themselves as a neutral and safe haven for your personal data committed to defending your freedom. Can we just bask in those words for a while? I mean, it's rare that something like that still exists in this day. And I just want to say, what? Oh, really? Okay. There's an addendum to this. Last month, Proton disabled email accounts belonging to journalists reporting on security breaches of various South Korean government computer systems following a complaint by an unspecified cybersecurity agency. Huh. After a public outcry and multiple weeks, the journalist accounts were eventually reinstated, but the reporters and editors involved still want answers on how and why Proton decided to shut down the accounts in the first place. Martin Shelton is a deputy director of digital security at the Freedom of Press Foundation. Freedom of the Press Foundation highlighted that numerous newsrooms use Proton services as alternatives to something like Gmail, specifically to avoid situations like this, and pointed out that while it's good to see that Proton is reconsidering account suspensions, journalists are among the users who need these and similar tools most. Newsrooms like The Intercept, The Boston Globe, The Tampa Bay Times, they all rely on Proton Mail for email tip submissions. Now, Shelton noted that perhaps Proton should prioritize responding to journalists about account suspensions privately rather than when they go viral. Now, the two journalists whose accounts were disabled were working on an article published in the August issue of the long-running hacker zine Frack. Yeah. The story described how a sophisticated hacking operation, what's known in cybersecurity parlance as an APT, or Advanced Persistent Threat, had wormed its way into a number of South Korean computer networks, including those of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the Military Defense Counterintelligence Command, or DCC. The journalist who published their story under the names Saber and Cyborg described the hack as being consistent with the work of Kim Suki, a notorious North Korean state-backed APT sanctioned by the U.S. Treasury Department in 2023. Now, as they piece the story together, emails viewed by The Intercept show that the authors followed cybersecurity best practices and conducted what's known as responsible disclosure, notifying affected parties that a vulnerability has been discovered in their systems prior to publicizing the incident. Saber and Cyborg created a dedicated Proton Mail account to coordinate the responsible disclosures, then proceeded to notify the impacted parties, including the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the DCC, also notified South Korean cybersecurity organizations like the Korea Internet and Security Agency. They did everything right, and yet this happened to them. And Proton Mail is nothing sacred anymore. Thoughts?
This story is kind of wild, and it just goes to show something that I'm often saying to people, which is when you depend on some other service, you are subject to whatever decisions that they might make. And even somebody like Proton, which builds itself up as a privacy-focused solution, is going to make decisions, and you will not always agree with those decisions. And email is, in a sense, one of those things that you can still just roll your own if you're so inclined and technically minded. You can run your own email server. A lot of us have done it. It's every year it's harder and harder to do so, and not everybody is willing to do that. But if you're making choices between some monolith like Gmail or Microsoft or Apple to be your email provider, is that any better than choosing something like Proton, which at least has the veneer of privacy? I don't know.
Go ahead, Alex.
This case is really fascinating, I think, in a number of ways, because it calls out this tension between, on the one hand, preventing abuse, preventing your system that you've created, this email system that relies on encryption and is used by people and journalists all over the world, preventing that particular system from being abused, but yet also at the same time preserving user rights and protecting journalistic activity. It's a hard balancing act to perform on a daily basis and get it right all the time. I think Proton Mail was being especially cautious here. It saw some activity that it suspected as potentially relating to the DPRK and took measures that were a bit too proactive. And then this now raises questions about, well, should there be some kind of uniform evidentiary basis or standard by which accounts need to be determined to be malicious or abusive in some way? What are those standards? Who enforces them? And the reason why we have things like legal process and court orders to shut down accounts. But we can't rely on the courts and law enforcement, I think, to do all this work. We do need to rely on private parties. This is why in cybersecurity circles we're always talking about this putative public-private partnership that is going to solve all of our problems. And so, sometimes they get it right, sometimes they got it wrong. They got it wrong in this time, but they righted the wrong. So I think...
Well, yeah. I'd like to hear how they're going to right the wrong going forward so that this doesn't happen again. I'd like to hear how they're doing better, because I don't want to have to write off Proton Mail on top of everything else. Kyle, you've got the actual article there from the printed edition of FRAC that everybody at HOPE and DEF CON and the one over in the Netherlands everyone got a copy of this this magazine. It's huge.
Yeah, if you have it, it's page 29 is the beginning of it, and it is a like 12-page article, I think, or a little under that, and it's incredibly in-depth. Talks a lot about this threat actor and their workstation, and it has a lot of really interesting details. And there is a QR, and it references different ways to get some of the files, which I will warn, and they do make it clear you should be very careful about how you handle it. But there's a QR, and Proton is mentioned. So they were definitely using it basically to offload some of the work. Of course, you've done all this research, you're sharing, you're coming up with an article, you're doing all the legwork there, and at last you need some kind of way of getting information out. These are part of the infrastructure for reporting, and I think they use the best kind of services they can to finish that work in light of a deadline and trying to get the word out. So they chose one that doesn't seem to be as reliable in under these circumstances, but I don't know enough. I encourage people to read the article itself. I don't know enough about exactly what's being revealed and what the sort of push-pull, the interests at play might be seeking this kind of recourse. So it is a very interesting case, and especially when you think about the content of the article.
And again, that's on page 29 of the printed FRAC edition that came out last month, or it came out actually, I think, a month and a half ago. More information, frac.org, P-H-R-A-C-K.org. Hey, we have this announcement for tomorrow. There's going to be a test. New York City Emergency Management, NYCEM, will be conducting a citywide test of the wireless emergency alert system on Thursday, September 18th at 12 p.m.
Oh, these are fun.
These are a lot of fun. But you have, you have to opt into this one. Gila, I think you had some info on this.
I did, yeah. So there is an alert coming tomorrow at 12 p.m. on the wireless emergency alert system. If you have the WEA settings enabled on your phone, if you don't, you're not going to get the warning. So the New York City Emergency Management Service is encouraging all New Yorkers to use this test as an opportunity to learn more about the WEA system and practice receiving alerts. But, again, you're not going to get the alert if you're not opted in. So if you want to get this alert tomorrow and potentially when there are emergencies in the future, go ahead and make sure that your WEA settings are indeed enabled if you want a warning tomorrow.
Yeah, don't miss out on all the fun because we're all going to be, well, I don't know if you get it outside of New York City, but we'll try. You know, we'll see what happens. And you can set that to speak an alert. You can set it to have the little tone or whatever. It's great fun when this happens. It doesn't happen very often. It's like an eclipse. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Off the Hook. We'll be back next week, 7 p.m. Wednesday on WBAI. Please support WBAI. Give to WBAI.org or buddy.wbai.org. Keep this radio station strong. Keep this radio station speaking and unintimidated, unlike almost every other media outlet these days. We are reachable, OTH, at 2600.com, and we are continuing the discussion over on YouTube on channel 2600, or go to the website, or the link, rather, on top of the website, 2600.com. We will see you next week. Please, think of freedom. It's a good thing to think about.
Our Father, which art in heaven, humble words. We shall fight on the beaches, we shall find the hills, we shall never surrender.
Trenchant words, thunder.
Give me liberty, give me liberty, won't give me death.
Thundering words.
The strongest words,
cars.
The strongest word,
cars.
The strongest word,
cars.
Persuasive. The strongest word. The strongest word.
Inspirational words.
The strongest word is still the word
great.
Free.
Grateful words.
Free. The word free.
The strongest
word is still the word free.
Men have lived for words.
Words.
Men have died for words.
Pointed
words. Cities have fallen for words.
Free.
The right words.
Iraq, inflammable.
The right words.
Islam, insidious.
The right words, said Lenin, are worth 100 regiments.
You infamous Koran.
Scathing words.
You can say four blunt words, and a man will hit you in the face.
Words.
Dirty.
Implacable.
Crass.
Sarcastic.
People
reconcile. A little deluge of adjectives.
Words.
The strongest word is still the word
Free.
Believability. Next to the word free, the best word is new.
Persuasive.
The best word is new.
At your 7-Eleven, freedom's waiting.
For your kind of morning, our kind of freedom.
For you.
Other tested words are mistakes, stop, at last, and don't.